Lagos, what do you want to know about the federal government's partnership with Microsoft? What do you want to know about the federal government's partnership with Microsoft? Last week, we heard the announcement, big partnership aimed at digital transformation, including job creation. And here's today's big hard fact. According to Microsoft and the federal government, their digital transformation plan aims to create 27,000 jobs in 3 years. Now, that's a big number, and it has grabbed a lot of the headlines. But that's not the whole picture. The project has three pillars: increased connectivity, upskilling and job creation, and digital transformation. So for the rest of the hour, we're going to be looking at all three. And joining us to have this conversation about this new plan is the special advisor to the president on innovation. And his name is Ife Adebayo. Welcome to Hard Facts, Ife.
Thank you very much, Sandra, for having me.
He's joining us via Zoom today.
I'm the special assistant.
Oh, special assistant. Sorry about that. He's joining us via Zoom today. And you can watch on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also watch on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Those are our streaming platforms. Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. If you've got questions, we have the man in the corridors of power who can answer the questions for you. If you've got comments about this program, also give us a call and share those thoughts. Our numbers are 0700-993-993-993. That number is for men. 01465-7190. That number is for women. Now, Ife, how did this decision to partner with Microsoft come about?
So the federal government has been engaging with the big tech and with a lot of local players also within the tech space over the last 5 years. The vice president has been driving this under the able leadership of Mr. President, of course, and earlier in 2016 met with top officials of Facebook, of Microsoft. And we also had a Mark Zuckerberg visit Nigeria. We had Google CEO Sundar Pichai visit Nigeria. We've had executives of IBM visit Nigeria. And so these have been, you know, ongoing engagements and conversations that we're having with a lot of these big tech companies. Mm-hmm. The VP himself undertook a tour of tech. I went to Lagos, met a lot of the technology startups in Lagos. Mm-hmm. Paystack, he was in Paystack. Paystack was recently acquired for $200 million. It was at Andela. Mm-hmm. These are conversations that are ongoing. He went to Silicon Valley with a lot of these startup companies and gave them an opportunity to meet with investors. So what you see is many years of hard work and engagement with the ecosystem. When the Microsoft president now met with him in January this year, then I had the conversation around how Microsoft can invest in Nigeria and support the ecosystem in a more visible way.
Now let's go over each of the pillars, right? I'm going to start with the second one because I know Lagos is eager to hear about it. Upskilling and job creation. Tell us what's going on with that. What's going into that?
So for upskilling, because one of the core foundations of building the digital economy is by ensuring that your people have the right skills to be able to move and engage within the ecosystem.
Right.
So we are especially at a time where the importance of this cannot be overstated.
Right.
With the COVID-19 pandemic and the fact that everybody globally had to now rely on technology and on digital tools to be able to carry out basic tasks.
Right.
So 5 million Nigerians will be equipped with digital skills. However, these digital skills will be on different levels. So there are so many Nigerians today who do not have the basic digital skills, who cannot use the basic office skills, who cannot use, who don't even know how to turn on a computer, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a large section of people that will be focusing on and giving these basic digital skills. Mm-hmm. There is the intermediate level skills, which is how do you look at people who People who already have products in the market, they're looking for ways to get their products out to more people. Mm-hmm. They're looking for how to engage in remote work, mm-hmm. freelancing, and all of that. So mm-hmm. if you're an accountant, you've been home, you don't have a job, how can we provide you the digital skills that you require to be able to use your accounting skills to work remotely for anybody anywhere mm. in the world? Mm. So that's the second level. Mm-hmm. Right, the third level is the actual training of technology professionals. So we're going to train people on machine learning, artificial intelligence, data science, software development, based on the various products that Microsoft already has in the market. And so we'll be upskilling people, giving them opportunities to be able to now render those skills and become more employable within the market.
Now, when you're talking about digital skills, which digital skills does the program plan to focus on?
So the program's focus will be based on the specific requests and needs. Hmm. So when you have an opportunity to apply on the program, mm-hmm. you'll also be able to select, okay, I want to be a web developer, I want to learn artificial intelligence, I want to learn data science, you know, do I want to go into machine learning? So you will be able to select what you actually want to do and the path that you want to follow.
Hmm. Did the government perform a needs assessment to determine what tech sector jobs would make the most impact? How will this training program fit into the current economic plan?
So there is existing information and existing data globally that looks at the global market space and looks at the opportunities that are available.
Right.
And Microsoft and LinkedIn also recently did a sort of a needs assessment and looked at the jobs of the future mm-hmm. within the technology space.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be relying strongly on this. But beyond that, as the federal government, in 2017, 2018, mm-hmm. we also did what we call an innovation mapping, where we looked across every state in Nigeria and looked at what the opportunities are within the state. So there are some states where you find very minimal economic activity within the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there are some states where you see that there's a bit of activity, but there's not much happening.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are some states like Lagos, for example, like mm-hmm. Abuja, for example, where there's already a lot of activity and a lot of people already engaged within the system,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to map all these states and place them in different buckets and then be able to define the sorts of interventions. However, one thing I always like to point out is that beyond the innovation readiness of the various states, every state has a higher institution, and you'll be shocked at the level of talent that exists within these higher institutions. I was in Borno, for example, and I was shocked at the level of work that people and tech students in Ramat Polytechnic were doing. You know, they had walking sticks that was able to use the Internet of Things to know if a blind person is getting towards a barrier. They had drones that were flying. They had this IoT equipment that could do your blood pressure measurements right there in Ramat Polytechnic in Maiduguri.
Hmm.
So I was really blown away. And then when you go to Adamawa, you go to Kano, you go to Sokoto,
mm-hmm.
you go to Enugu, you go everywhere and you find that, okay, you know, we sit in Lagos sometimes and we think, oh, we are the big boys. But you'll be shocked at what people are doing in all these places that is not getting the attention.
Mm.
And I remember a conversation I had with the vice president on this, and he said something that stuck with me. He told me, if there is no shortage of skills in Nigeria, there's only a shortage of opportunities. So we have to give these people opportunities. And that's why this partnership with Microsoft is very important.
Lagos, if you just joined in, it's 12 minutes past 5. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and I have the special assistant to the Vice President on Innovation on the show today. His name is Ife Adebayo. And we're talking about this planned partnership. Well, it's not even a planned partnership. It's already in effect between Microsoft and the federal government. And according to Microsoft and the federal government, their digital transformation plan aims to create 27,000 jobs in 3 years. Now, I talked about the three pillars of this project, increased connectivity, upskilling and job creation, and digital transformation. So what we're going to try to do within the hour is to look at all three. We're currently looking at upskilling and job creation. Now, let me ask you the one question everybody has been asking bugging me since I first announced this on the show last week. How will the candidates for training be selected? I ask because, as you know, whenever any Nigerian government at any level has some sort of upskilling program, we have allegations and complaints about the selection process. So how will the candidates for training be selected?
I'll start by defending the government and then answer your question.
Okay.
So I'll say I think the government has been able to show that it is possible to get involved in government programs without, you know, having to know anybody. And I think we ran this very, very well with the Empower program, for example. So I think people, we need to allay people's fears that this will be a case of who know who, you know, the Nigerian way. This is going to be a very open, transparent program. Which now takes me to the response to your question, how will the participants and beneficiaries be selected?
Right.
So this is a private sector program, and it is not a government program. So government in itself will not be doing any selection. And Microsoft is ensuring that they make this program available to everybody. So it's going to be in partnership with various government ministries, various government agencies, and even in some cases with state governments, because engagements have started with some state governments. So you will see that NITDA, the National Information Technology Development Agency, will be engaged, the Federal Ministry of Communication and Digital Economy, the Federal Ministry of Youth and Sports Development, and these portals will be free and open to everybody. And in fact, while in conversations with telecommunications companies, to ensure that to some level we're able to get some of these portals to be free of data, meaning people will be able to access it with or without data, and they will be able to make use of it. That basically democratizes this. However, there will also be the physical locations, right? Where there will be people who will be allowed to come in physically and attend some of these training sessions in their various states. And this will be anchored in different existing training centers all over the country that are owned by various government agencies. So the NDE, NITDA, Ministry of Youth, Ministry of Communication, like I mentioned earlier. So for these ones, any people who are within that location will have access to it. However, what it also means is that for those that will be taking part in some of the more advanced programs, you must then be able to show your capacity. You must then be able to go through some level of testing to be able to, you know, to be sure that if you come on this program, you're able to grasp what is being taught. But I can assure everybody that this project is going to be open to everybody. It's going to be democratized. No one is going to be denied access to it. So long as you have your device, you're able to connect, you will be able to take part in the trainings. And a lot of them are also going to be self-paced learning. So you'll be able to learn at your own pace, and you'll be able to grow at your own, and you'll be able to absorb at your own pace.
Is there a particular age range? Are there particular qualifications, or, you know, will some of the selection be made through particular institutions?
So it will be open and democratized, and it wouldn't be, I mean, we want a lot of young people to engage, but we wouldn't be setting an age barrier for people to engage, really, at least in most of the engagements. What we will want is as many Nigerians as possible to take advantage of this and be engaged on the program.
Okay, I like it. I like it so far. Lagos, let's talk. Shall we join the conversation? 0700-993-993-993. You can also share your thoughts with us via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. The number for women is 01465-7190. I have to ask if this training will be free of charge to Nigerians. Will it be free of charge? Will it be subsidized?
Microsoft is providing this as an investment into the Nigerian digital economy.
Okay, what does that mean? Is it free? Is it subsidized?
No, it means it is free.
Oh, fantastic. I like that. We like
it means
free.
It is free. No one will be expected to pay
to pay anything for this. Fantastic. Yes. Lagos, let's talk, huh? Hello, how are you? What's your name?
Hello.
How are you? What's your name?
Lagos, let's talk, huh? Hello, how are you? What's your name?
Okay, turn your device off. I can hear myself still.
Yes. I put it off.
All right.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. How are you? Welcome.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm Eric calling from Delta State.
Good to have you on the show. Oh, good to have you from Delta today. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's this question you asked your guest that you didn't really throw light on. Would there be qualification for those who have applied for this or just... He said, you ask those questions if there's age barrier or qualification. I only heard him talk about there's no age barrier. But what about qualification? You should throw light on that.
All right. Thank you very much for calling from Delta State. So he wants to know, yes, there are no age barriers, but how about qualifications? Remember, I was talking about particular qualifications. So things like WAEC, OND, HND, bachelor's. Do things like that come into play, Ife?
So at the base level, at the basic level, there are no qualification requirements. If you will want to join a more advanced course, there are also no qualification requirements, but there will be certain tests that you probably have to take to show that you have the right intellectual capacity to be able to understand and grasp what is being taught.
Okay, I do hope that answers his question, but hopefully he does call back. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello,
thank you for calling. Turn your radio off. What's your name?
Yeah. Hello, my name is Victor. I'm calling from Ijebude.
Victor, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, a question I want to ask is the location. Now, are they going to arrange this in Lagos State only, or is it going to be spread around the FCM, the 36th state of the federation?
All right, Victor, that's a good question. So is this targeted at people in Lagos only, or is it going to be a national program? That's the question Victor has.
It will be a national program. And what it means also, because there will be a virtual component to it, is that anywhere you are, you can, for the physical locations, it will be within the existing training centers in each of those countries. One of the key government agencies that we're also engaging on this partnership is the National Youth Service Corps, because a lot of the master trainers will be utilizing the youth corpus that are posted to different states in the country. So this will be available to everybody all over the country.
All over the country. All right, then. Let's take a few more thoughts. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hello, good day.
Good day. What's your name?
Joyce.
Okay, go ahead.
First time caller.
Good to have you here. Go ahead.
Thank you. I really love this initiative because I'm tech savvy. And I wanted to ask, when will the program start and what is the mode of application? Is there any date released yet for the program?
All right. Thank you very much. So is there a date yet released for this program, Ife? What's the mode of application and when does it start?
So the announcements have just been made. We're tying up all the necessary engagements. And I can assure you that before the end of this month, there will be announcements. The same way the partnership was announced, the various avenues for engaging in this program will also be announced. However, because this is a program that is going to run over 3 years, the training program, the target is to train 5 million people over 3 years. It means that you're going to continue to hear of different
dates,
different start points and different entry points and different dates over time. So for example, you may have a state, you may have Enugu State, for example, ready to engage because they have ready centers. Whereas you may say, and Oyo State may say, we need 1 month to set our to ensure our centers are ready. So what you're going to find is there will be various announcements that will continue to go on over the next 3 years, mm-hmm. and the opportunities will be democratized, and you'll have a lot of people coming up at different times with the opportunities as they come.
Now, training millions of Nigerians is a big job, Ife. It's going to create thousands of mid to long-term jobs in training and administration. How does the government plan to administer that? Will it be run directly by government or Microsoft or a third-party contractor? I ask that because of something you just said about you know, the states that have to set up the centers where some of these trainings will happen if they're happening in person.
So the model that we're adopting is a model that it's a tripartite model,
okay.
where you have the government, you have Microsoft, and then you have private sector players.
Mm-hmm.
So what you will have is the actual training delivery will be done by private sector players that are Microsoft partners.
Mm-hmm.
So these Microsoft partners are the ones who will deliver the last mile training. They're the ones who will project manage the training process,
mm-hmm.
And then ones who will also do the impact assessment and monitoring and evaluation for the training.
Mm.
So everything will be driven by private sector,
mm.
and in so doing, they will be providing a lot of private sector led jobs,
mm-hmm.
That are not necessarily tied to government, which means you don't have to know me, you don't have to know anybody within government to be engaged in this, because everything will be driven by private sector and will be driven on merit,
Lagos,
capacity and ability to deliver.
Lagos, let's take a break, shall we? When we come back, we'll take more of your calls, more of your comments, more of your questions. Ife Adebayo is on the show with me, Special Assistant to the Vice President on Innovation, and we're talking about Microsoft and the federal government's partnership and how it could benefit you. What do you want to know about it? Stick around, find out after the break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 5:31, and today we're talking about the federal government's partnership with Microsoft, a digital transformation plan that they hope will create 27,000 jobs in 3 years. The project has three pillars: increased connectivity, upskilling and job creation, and digital transformation. And for the first 30 minutes of the show, I've been speaking with the Vice President's Special Assistant on Innovation. His name is Ife Adebayo. Ife is still here with us. He's still answering your questions. We've talked about who is eligible for this. He says that it's going to be entirely democratized, so anybody can get involved. You, of course, will have to take some tests, and most of the work will be handled by the private sector, by Microsoft and other players in the private sector, which the government is hoping will cut out avenues for people to try to scam the system, or try to use nepotism, or try to wuru-wuru it, you know, which in my opinion sounds really, really good, I think. But you may have a different opinion. Now, Ife, before I get back to the phone lines, because they are insane, all my phone lines are blinking, everybody wants to ask questions about this. After the applicants get trained, what's the plan for job placement? Will the government take an active role as an employment clearinghouse, or will the private sector have to step in?
So one of the things that we've tried to do as much as possible is to ensure that everything we do is private sector driven. The government cannot create jobs. Government can only provide the enabling environment and provide the opportunities for people to gain the required skills to be able to get jobs and be more productive.
Right.
So what we believe is that this training opportunity for 5 million Nigerians will give them the relevant skills that are important in the workplace of today, will give them the relevant skills that are required for the jobs of the future. And then what you're going to find is among these 5 million people, you will find those that will become employers of labor themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find those who are already engaged in some form of commercial business or the other that now have the digital skills to be able to reach a lot more people. And then you will find those of them that will begin to be engaged in remote work. And then you find those that will, because they are more productive and more employable now, will then be able to get more jobs that pay them more than they have currently, or be able to get into fresh employment if they were initially not employed.
What parts of the digital economy does the government think Nigeria can develop a competitive advantage in?
So the beauty of technology is that it is an enabler across sectors, right? So you can't tie it to one thing. So what you find is that with the right technology skills, with the right focus on growing the digital economy, what you find is that you can support agriculture, you can support education, you can support health, you can support services, you can support literally every part of the economy. So what we're hoping is that building a digital economy gives Nigerians the opportunity to be able to maximize their skills across sectors. And I'll give an example. Temigiwa, there in Lagos, runs Life Bank, right? And building on digital skills, she's able to provide life-saving medical products to Nigerians that are in need of these medical products. We have people like Thrive Agric that are able to leverage technology to support farmers and to be able to grow the agric sector. We have people like Andela that are able to provide digital skills and then in the process provide jobs for people. So what you will find is that when you grow the digital economy, you grow every sector of the economy.
Now, let's talk about the second pillar, and then we'll take some calls. Increased connectivity. The release said that Microsoft would deploy its airband technology to provide broadband internet service. So first of all, what's airband, and how does it differ from optical fiber or telephony based, broadband? Ife, do we still have you there? Hello, Ife? All right. Well, we're having this conversation via Zoom, and it does look like Ife's network has dropped off. But the good thing is that if they get this partnership right with Microsoft, perhaps things like network dropping will not be a thing anymore. You know, perhaps we can begin to dream of enjoying truly high-speed internet, truly true connectivity, you know, things like that. But yeah, until we get Ife back on the line, let's talk to you, Lagos, shall we? 0700-993-993-993. If you have questions, go ahead and give us a call and ask those questions. And when Ife joins the conversation again, he will, of course, answer those questions. We also have WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We've got a number for women. Our number for women is 01-465-7190. Femi is in Festac. Hello, Femi. Thank you very much for
calling.
Hi.
Yes, I'm back again. Yes, I would have asked this question directly, but he's not online. But let me ask it anyway.
Okay.
I know it's about of product, and I feel that we are concentrating. Hello.
Yes, I'm hearing you. We're concentrating
more on the part where train people and train people and train people. The platform is the work experience, which is actually what is demanded right now on job sites online, got to see your portfolio, what you've done.
Femi, unfortunately, your line is breaking up. So let me be clear that I understand what you're trying to say. You're saying that we're focusing too much on training instead of job experience.
The job experience, because IT support generally, Microsoft is big in terms of cost.
Oh no, Femi, your line is breaking up so badly. So maybe call us back, okay? Please call us back. Thank you very much. But yeah, we've got Ife back on the line. Ife, sorry about that bad connection there. I was joking that perhaps if we get the connectivity part of this partnership right, terrible network will be a thing of the past. Huh? So talk to me about what airband is, first of all, and how does it differ from optical fiber or telephony-based broadband?
So airband is the utilization of TV white spaces. So what you have is you have this frequency, these various frequencies. I'm sure you as a radio host will understand this, that radios and TV stations are connected to. So the freed are up frequency bandwidth, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. This is what airband utilizes, mm-hmm, to give you internet connectivity. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft has used this to provide connectivity to millions of people in the United States, in rural areas in the United States. So what it does is that because of its reach, it is cheaper, it can reach people, it can reach more areas, and it can go through mountainous areas, forest areas, as opposed to laying fiber optic cables, which is more costly and definitely takes a lot more time. This does not mean, of course, that we are not going ahead with laying fiber, because there is a national broadband policy being driven by the Honorable Minister of Communications and Digital Economy, which is currently engaging with infrastructure companies and laying fiber across the various regions in the country. But this Microsoft initiative brings us quicker and faster to reach a lot of these underserved areas, and then enables us to be able to layer various social services on the digital connectivity that will now be provided in these places.
Now, the release said airband will be deployed in 6 areas. Where and where?
You want to set me up so that your callers will start calling in and saying, why is my village in Omoko not the place where they are starting this? So like you will expect, what we will be doing, we'll be doing an assessment, mm-hmm, and we will be deciding on where we're going to begin. However, like I said, we still have a national broadband policy that ensures that nobody is left behind, mm-hmm, but we will be starting and ensure that we are engaging in each of the 6 geopolitical zones to start with. Every geopolitical zone will be put into consideration.
Okay.
And when this starts and we're able to show a proof of concept that this is commercially viable, it brings social impact within the communities where it is being deployed, we then continue to engage and deploy across all the other areas.
Is the plan for Microsoft to be a retail ISP, or will you be selling the broadband connectivity to other ISPs?
So this is it's going to be free. I mean, we're not tying Microsoft to anything. And so, for example, SpaceX by Elon Musk, mm-hmm, announced just yesterday that they are also coming into Nigeria.
Right.
The Google Equinox undersea cable,
mm-hmm,
Will be landing in Lagos and will also be going to other areas of Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
We have the likes of Main One that is already, you know, has reached a lot of places all over Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
We have Galaxy Backbone. So what we're doing is we're creating an enabling environment for everybody within the connectivity space to be able to engage.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with what we're doing with everybody else and what we're doing with Microsoft,
mm-hmm,
is that this is like a bouquet of engagements and partnerships and activities that we're currently having with Microsoft.
Mm.
But the Ministry of Digital Communications and Digital Economy is engaging with various other partners to ensure that Nigeria's national broadband plan that is targeting to reach every part of the country,
mm-hmm,
is moving forward, basically.
You mentioned that the government will take advantage of this and piggyback on the airband to provide some services, maybe in areas like telemedicine or distance education. Do you have any plans any other plans like that in the works?
So each area where we're deploying, we'll be layering social services on this. So it could be on education, it could be on health. We're in conversations with various partners, we're in conversation with various government agencies who already are saying, oh, we want to engage in this. Where, for example, the Akwa Ibom state government has reached out, the Ondo state government has reached out. So there are already engagements with people saying, oh, if you're able to provide this, we want to layer something on top of it that will benefit the communities in which this will be working.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to mention,
mm-hmm,
that Microsoft, actually on the Airband Initiative, will be working with local telcos to be able to do this. But also, if Microsoft at some point wants to be licensed, I think they will go through the right route through the Nigerian Communications Commission and make necessary applications to be licensed.
Okay. Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. We also have WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Let me go to WhatsApp before you people kill me. We've got messages. Oh my God, lots of messages here. I was right. You would have killed me. Sandra, I want to ask your guest if there's any plan or consideration for empowering those who graduated. Okay. We've got Sandra, won't quota system be involved in the selection? Well, he said no, because it's going to be very private sector heavy. Grandma Princess will like to know how this Microsoft program will benefit already qualified IT professionals who are in the unemployment market, mostly because they don't have the connections to get jobs that has to do with their professions. Ife?
That's a very good question. And one of the key things that this program will do is that for such professionals, they will be able to go on the various portals, engage with the system, take the necessary qualification exams, and also there will be the opportunity to utilize the employability part of the portal. Now, what the employability part of the portal does is that it links you with opportunities within your own area. So it looks at, it engages employers of labor within your area and engages businesses within your area, engages people who need certain services within your area, and then links you with those opportunities. Mm. However, one of the key things that we're beginning to look at is also how can we export services? How can people who have skills provide those skills even outside the shores of Nigeria? Mm. How can we, for example, maximize the new African Continental Free Trade Agreement to ensure that people with skills are able to use digital technology to provide services across Africa and even to other Western countries?
I've got a question here. Does this partnership benefit only computer science students? How can those in other fields benefit from it?
So it benefits everybody. Everybody requires digital skills. If you're a hairdresser, for example, and you have digital marketing skills, you will be able to know how to use your digital marketing skills by taking some of these programs. If you studied mathematics and you want to start to give mathematics lessons, you'll be able to learn how to use your digital skills to give mathematics lessons. I was watching my niece a few days ago. She's in Canada and her Yoruba teacher is in Lagos. They were able to use digital technologies to give her Yoruba lessons in Canada, which was very beautiful to watch. Mm. That's someone who studied Yoruba. So this will be something that will be available for everybody. And I think everybody will have some positive use of it. So I will encourage everyone, irrespective of your sector, irrespective of your expertise, to take advantage of these opportunities.
Now let's talk about the third pillar, digital transformation. How can artificial intelligence and machine learning help the EFCC fight corruption?
I wouldn't be speaking for the EFCC. I don't want them knocking on my door. But I know that there are conversations and engagements ongoing with Microsoft and the EFCC to see how machine learning and artificial intelligence can help them in the fight against corruption. Mm-hmm. And I'll just give some layman examples. Sometimes all you need is to have the right technology to plug loopholes, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a computing system that studies the pattern of financial flows and understands that this is the right path, this is the path in which financial flows usually go. So for example, if there is a computer system that knows that Ife transfers 10,000 naira weekly at the maximum, the day I suddenly transfer 150,000 naira, the technology will flag it. And then an organization like EFCC can say, why has this happened today? Mm. And is able to know whether I am being scammed or whether I'm the scammer or the scammy. So there are various ways in which technology matters. and machine learning and artificial intelligence can be utilized. Mm-hmm. The engagement is going on because of the sensitive nature of it, right? There's not a lot of it that I can speak on.
I
think the EFCC team and the Microsoft team will be able to speak to what they think should be spoken to when the time is right.
But I do have to ask you about, some of the law enforcement agencies that Microsoft provides software services for. You know, so you've got things like domain awareness system, which collects both real world and digital data and analyzes it with AI to find criminal patterns, right? But at the same time, there have been concerns about citizen privacy with some of these products, right? What data protection measures will be put in place to ensure that this technology isn't used beyond its scope to endanger citizen privacy?
So there is an EFCC Act that gives the EFCC certain rights. And I think very importantly, we have an EFCC that has so far stuck to the limits of its rights. So I'm pretty confident that whatever is being developed will be within the existing permitted regulatory access rights for the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission.
Now, the press statement talked about something that got me really curious. It said that there's a plan to use tech to help preserve some Nigerian languages. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that's an ongoing partnership with the Institute for Cultural Orientation. Mm-hmm. And what it's going to do, it's starting with the top three Nigerian languages, which is Igbo, Yoruba, and Hausa, mm-hmm. right? We'll be looking to localize these languages into as many Microsoft products as possible. So if you want to use a Microsoft product today, mm-hmm. you can use it in English, you can use it in German, you can use it in French, you can use it in Spanish, Chinese, mm-hmm. Mandarin. So we're going to be providing those opportunities also in Nigerian languages so that those Nigerians that are better at communicating and engaging in these Nigerian languages also have more access now to the use of these technology tools so that they're not left behind. Mm. There's a Nigerian, for example, who is building a programming language in Yoruba called Yorlang. Mm-hmm. Those kind of people will then be able to integrate these programming languages within existing Microsoft products. So what it does is that it preserves these languages, preserves these cultural languages, but also provides additional access to people like my grandmother, for example, who can't speak English, mm-hmm. but will read that Yoruba book.
It all sounds pretty good. All right, I have to ask you a final question and then I have to let you go. Which of these programs will Microsoft be paid for, and which of these programs are free to the government and the public?
They're all Microsoft investments in the Nigerian digital economy.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ife Adebayo, for joining us on this conversation today. We've got about 3 minutes, and I'm sure somebody has one question. I can take only one final call with one final question for Ife before I have to let him go. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
All these things, they look fantastic, but all these things will be based on power supply. If power supply in Nigeria is not okay, all these things cannot effectively work well. So it's very important that power supply must be stable, because that's what is carrying all industry away from Nigeria. A lot of them have relocated out of Nigeria because the cost of production or generating power to do their work is very high. So government should look into the power. If they are able to solve the power problem, Nigeria will be industrialized. Nigeria will grow economically exponentially. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. That wasn't a question, so I have to take that question. Hello. Sorry about that. Hello. Okay. Hello. I guess that's my cue. Ife, thank you very much. I mean, you are the Vice President's SA on innovation. So innovate us out of power problems.
Yeah, I can make an attempt to respond to her.
Go ahead.
I mean, you're going to need the whole of the session to discuss federal government's power initiatives.
Yeah.
However, my response is simple. This is not an either or, right? It's not an either or. You have to do both. So as the government keeps investing in power, we have to also invest in the digital economy. And that's exactly what we're doing.
All right, Ife. Thank you so much for your time. This has been a great pleasure. We do hope we will have you back on Hard Facts in the future.
Thank you very much, Sandra. I look forward to being back.
Lagos, let me give you a chance to win money. I know that a lot of people who have been waiting for that part of the show. So the high score for today is 6. But if you answer 7 questions correctly, you become our winner. It's that simple, really. 7 questions, and then you walk away with 10 grand. Who's the lucky person going to be?